And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I am doing outstanding now. Had a headache earlier, took a nap and some Advil. So I'm feeling good now, man. I'm ready to rock. Be like DJ Blackhawk here on Playback. If you have not subscribed to our Playback channel, we're going to be doing more and more stuff on there, especially during the college basketball season next year. That's playback.tv/hoopsprofile. You get a behind the scenes look of some stuff we discuss off air, how we're putting things together, future upcoming plans. It's a really good time to be a Playback member. It doesn't cost you anything. Just like your YouTube view, where you can like and subscribe, which we greatly appreciate, you can go to playback.tv/hoopsprofile. Does not cost you a dime to join us over on Playback as well. Free 99, says Matt Hanifin. But yeah, man, so we're going to get into it today. We're going to keep the show light. We're going to keep it informative. But we're going to discuss the draft order as it stands today, pre-lottery. E on YouTube says, "What's up, fam? What's going on?" I say, "What's up to you, E? Haven't seen you in a while. I appreciate you stopping by. Always a friend of the show, man." But yeah, we're going to talk about the draft lottery. We'll briefly touch on, I'll probably ask you, what's one name you'd want this, like, what's one need you think this team has? And that's, we'll keep it light. Like, you don't have to go in depth or anything like that. So let me pull up the, I'm not going to pull it up on the screen because I don't want to ruin the surprise for people watching on YouTube if you may not know who is who, but I will share it at the end. So if you want to take a picture or just go to Tankathon where I'm at anyway, and you can see the full draft order for yourselves. But for the listening audience, I want to keep it kind of a mystery. We should probably go in reverse order. We'll just do the first round and we'll start at pick number 30. Unless you want to do the second round. You care about doing the second round to start?
No, we could do first.
All right, we'll just do the first round. Real quick, E has a question. He says, "What do you think about Dylan Harper?" I think he's an amazing talent, 6'6", point of attack defender. We've talked about him a lot on this channel. Reminds me, he's Damon Stoudemire-ish. Got a little Nick Van Exel. No, not Nick Van Exel, sorry. More Damon Stoudemire-ish. He gets downhill, he attacks the rim, good finisher. Needs to work on his J a little bit, but I think it'll be fine in the end. Hard worker, good point of attack defender. He'll be the number 2 overall pick in the draft. That was a very long-winded way of me to say that. But we'll start with pick number 30. By the way of the Oklahoma City Thunders. Thunder. Why did I put an S on there? That was weird. We have the LA Clippers. What do you think the Clippers need to add at the end of the first round, Matt? Anything in particular?
I think, like, at least when I'm going to probably say this more often than not when it comes to these teams at the bottom of the draft, like, especially like one like the LA Clippers, you know, who had a resurgence season. I believe they won like 50 games.
Right.
A team that I was wrong about heading into the season. Like, you could just, I think at that point, you're taking like BPA or just like you're throwing darts on guys that you think will hit.
Yeah.
I think having additional insurance behind Kawhi Leonard is something that should be a priority. I also think like getting another point guard outside of James Harden, not named Chris Dunn, should be a priority. Like another like ball handler, someone who could take the pressure off that offense. Yeah. Zubac has been phenomenal this year, but like they don't, to my knowledge, they don't have like a great like supplementary backup. Like there's right. Not needs, but like just more depth, I think is more so the way I want to go with this. But I think like if I'm picking a positional need, like just another, maybe another wing behind Kawhi Leonard,
I think. Yeah. And there's a great guy that I have in mind that would, if he's there at like pick 30 for a wing, that I think you'd be really on board with.
Who?
And that's your guy, Adu Thoreau. I think he'd be good value at pick 30 for the Clippers as a guy that they can develop, that can get some downhill rim pressure, can attack, physical. I think that would be a good, I think that would be a decent spot. If they go big man, your other guy. You love watching this guy run. Ryan Kalkbrenner.
The thing, though, with them, something else like that should be a priority if you're just looking at like a statistical angle of this is like they need shooting.
They do. They
so
do. Thoreau does not
find
do
a
that
wing or a guard who can shoot.
Yeah. You're going to have to go older.
Yeah.
And so that would like if Chaz Lanier is there, for example, that's a guy you would want then.
That's not a bad one.
But my question is, so E says they should take a center like Danny Wolf. Danny Wolf will not be there at pick 30. He will not. He's going to go in the low teens or low teens, late teens. Man, I really did just wake up. He'll go late teens or early 20s. He's not going to be there at pick 30, in my opinion. But my other question, and I know we were supposed to keep this light, but now my brain won't stop. Do they blow it up?
No.
You think they keep trying to see if Kawhi will be healthy?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
They had a great year this year.
They did. They did. They had a great year. And if Kawhi can be healthy, he's the all the difference in the world for sure.
Yeah.
E says he thinks they'll blow it up. The Phoenix Suns are pick 29 via the Cleveland Cavaliers pick. What do the Suns need?
Everything.
Literally everything.
They need to not have the third highest payroll or highest payroll in the league next year and win more than 36 games. I think that's a decent start to their plan. No, again, just BPA.
Yeah, they need everything.
Like the center situation was so bad. Like if you could prioritize someone who's like a defensive minded player, I think that's the route you can go because their defense was the fourth worst in the league last year. Like, yeah, Ryan Dunn was there, but like in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of it was mitigated. Like you need more than just him.
Jahni Broom.
Sure.
I mean, defensive guy, older, can contribute right away.
It all depends who their next coach is, I think, too. Right. Like what kind of like scheme and whatnot, and if they decide to make any wholesale changes, what they get, like if they trade Durant. I mean, they're gonna trade Durant, I think, at this
point. Durant's pretty much gone.
I think it's pretty clear that they're gonna do that, but like depending on what they get back for him, regardless if it's expirings or players who would another additional year on their contract, what do they address in terms of like just how they fit together with Devin Booker, with Bradley Beal? I think it'll more so depend on that too. Like that has to be a part of the equation
for sure.
But I mean, this team needs pretty much everything. The Tyus Jones experiment was just flamed out. It just did not work at all. I like Tyus too.
I just think it was a bad fit with the roster construction that they have. But my thing is, too, with Phoenix, is that the Bradley Beal contract, I mean, they're going to have limited options to move him, especially with that no trade clause. Like, he's going to have
I don't think they're going to.
But they're going to want to. Like, and I don't know if he's going to want to stay there through the shambles that organization is going to be for the next how many ever years because of all this. He has another good question.
He loves Phoenix.
So he loves the golf and he loves the weather and
Yeah.
Especially being in freaking Washington all those years. He's like snow.
Yeah, right.
E has another question here. He says, what about Noah Penda? Real quick, I'm intrigued by the highlights, but I'm going to give you guys some background information into my scouting world. I don't have any contacts in professional organizations where I can be like, I need tape on a guy, and they'll give it to me. And Le Mans is in France's Pro A League, and you can't find full games anywhere. So I haven't scouted them yet. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I'll get back to you guys. Maybe I'll do a whole episode dedicated to Noah Pendo when I do. Boston has the 28th pick. Miami Heat fans are in love with this conversation. What do you think Boston needs at pick 28?
Again, BPA guy who can just come in right away, preferably in the front court. Like if specifically, or not preferably in the front, I maybe like the wing.
Yeah.
That can come in, 3-and-D player, guy who, you know, can impact the game, impact the team right away. I mean, again, Brad Stevens said it last year before the draft, where it was just like, the guy who comes in here probably isn't going to be playing that much this season.
Do you think they could take one of those draft and stash European guys? For example,
they did that like in like 2015 when the two-way contract like was barely a thing.
Right.
With Ainge. I don't think they do that now.
Will Riley. You think Will Riley falls that far?
They already drafted a one-year project in Jordan Walsh, and that has not worked at all whatsoever. So I don't see them doing that with this one.
I mean, they have the luxury to do it.
Sure.
So it's possible. Dennis, welcome to the stream. Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys. He said, you don't believe in Jordan. Jordan who?
Walsh?
Oh, no. Walsh. Yeah, no, I don't either. Walsh is an intangibles guy. Hustles, plays hard, has long arms.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do anything particularly well, though. He doesn't do anything great. Nothing that's going to get him consistent minutes. Maybe he develops into something, but I've had this conversation with people before. He doesn't project to be something better than an end of a bench rotation guy or out of the rotation guy. He would have to significantly improve his 3-point shooting, his ability to get and finish in the paint. He has a lot to work on, a lot to work on.
Yeah.
Number 20, we're going to tackle 26 and 27 because they both belong to the Brooklyn Nets. Two things you'd like them to add.
I mean, considering they have so much capital in the first round, they have like what, 4 picks? They're projected to have 4 picks. And so like, I could really answer this being like, they just, again, I sound like a broken record and this is such a cop out, but like best player available. I know at least one or two of those picks are going to be shooting for upside with some of these guys, like depending on where they fall in the lottery, whether it's like, you know, top
that eight. Roster needs everything. Yeah.
And so it's just like, really, you want to get, what are your thoughts on like keeping Cam Thomas with this core? Because I think like they should address the front court absolutely if they can.
I mean, I think Cam Thomas is a walking bucket, right? Like he really is. But the issue that I have with Cam Thomas is that he's not going to fit a timeline of them to actually do anything. So do you maximize his talent and try to stay even younger? I mean, that's the dilemma that you have.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That would actually be a really good spot. I don't think Pettiford's going to be that low. Matter of fact, let's do it like this. Brooklyn has pick 6, pick 20, 26, 27. I could see Tahad Pettiford being a great pick at pick 20. So 26, 27 could be, like you said, projects, or maybe Adu Thoreau as well, like at that spot. And then maybe a big.
I want to see them with, like, I think this team needs extra creation too. Like a shot creator, or a guy who like a lead guard type player.
Right.
That
would be Tahad Pettiford.
That would be, I'm just saying in general, like in addition to their front court woes that they, you know, need to address. Even though Claxton signed an extension, they really don't have much else after him. They need help with the wing. They need help At the guard position, like D'Angelo Russell's contract expiring, the D'Anthony Melton contract that they traded for, when the Dennis Schroeder trade is expiring. I mean, there's a lot of money that's coming off the books, and there's a reason why. Like, I'm very curious to see how this team attacks not only the draft but in free agency, because they have so much cap space available. Like, they could shoot for upside with at least half of these picks, and you know, still have a solid roster. Not maybe not solid roster, but like an improved roster next year, just because of,
right.
Again, depending on where they land, depending on who they get in free agency, the kind of mix of veterans that they have with this young core that they're bringing in this year, like, or maybe they try to package these and move up or move back or move into next year's draft. I don't know what their pick situation looks like, but there's so many scenarios for this team where it's just like attack a little bit of everything. At six, you're probably getting like a Con Knipple like player.
Right.
Okay, well, then how you want to address the front court? Are you going to go for a guy like, you know, we've talked about Sorber or Danny Wolf or someone like that at 20?
Dude, if Sorber's there at 20, that'll be amazing.
Do they think about getting like a Ben Sarif?
Yeah. Yeah, depending on what they do at pick six. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, like, there's so many routes that this team can go. And, like, sure, they were better than I expected this year, but there's so much money coming off the books. And Cam Thomas is going to be free agent. Zaire Williams.
Or do they package a couple of those picks and go get a guy? Like,
sure.
To land back yeah. there. Let me ask you this, because I just want to address two things real quick. Blackhawk DJ in our playback channel, he asked, do you think Asa Newell will be at the second pick for the Heat? Asa Newell has no chance to be at that second pick for the Heat. Zero.
If we were in the front office,
would you say?
I don't know if that's in reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, if it was like in like 2K, yeah, sure. But yeah, Asa Newell is such a good player. He's going to be gone before the 20s. Yeah, one other quick thing. Jeremiah's fears would be a good fit for the Nets, says E. Dennis sure. says, I think you can't win with Cam. That's to the Brooklyn point. I mean, I don't know if you can't win with Cam. I just think the roster construction of the team isn't set up to be successful, and he won't fit their timeline. But, I mean, Cam could play a role on a winning team.
Cam Thomas, you mean, not Cam
Johnson. Thomas. Yeah, not Cam Johnson. Cam Thomas.
Cam Johnson, though, like, he's on a front-loaded contract, and it's a very team-friendly deal.
Yeah, and he's a role player.
What if they try to flip him? At the deadline, or not the deadline, in the summer.
Yeah, I could see that happening, because yeah. he would definitely help a winning team.
100%.
Are the Heat going after Carter Bryant? We may be addressing that around pick 18. The Oklahoma City Thunder at pick 25 via the Los Angeles Clippers trade. What do they need?
Nothing. No,
they're all luxury picks, basically.
Yeah, it'd be, again, like, just finding depth anywhere you can find it.
Maybe Orlando
in the front court,
behind yeah, Hardenstein. Just done.
Yeah, just like depth. at that range, I would look at like if a Danny Wolf's still available.
Yeah, I don't know if Danny Wolf's going to be there at 25. I really think he's going to go higher than people think.
Me too.
Maybe a Noah Asangu could be down there. Carter Bryant, maybe? Maybe. Neek Clifford could be there.
Oh, dude.
Yep. Yep. Maybe a Neek Clifford.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
sickening, dude.
The rich get richer. The Orlando Magic via the Denver Nuggets pick at pick 24.
Who is the best shooter available? That's who I'm taking if I'm Orlando.
That's exactly what they need, another guard. The best shooter available at that spot, likely, Walter Clayton Jr.
Fine with it.
Fine. Probably it.
Hold on.
Or Cam Jones.
Contract situations like there has to be... I mean, because I know, obviously, we talked about it a couple pods ago. They signed all three of their big guys to extensions. Jonathan, okay. Do they have any money like coming off the books immediately? They
while
don't.
You're doing that, Matt Hanifin, the chat is coming after you hard. They said replace Anthony Black. Laughing emoji.
No one said that. You're just saying that.
I didn't say it. Dennis said it.
All right.
Not me. Dennis.
I mean, sure, you can go. I mean, again, this team needs shooting so unbelievably bad.
That is correct. But
Gary Harris, all due respect to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony somewhat, they can't be your best shooters.
They definitely cannot.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been the best shooter on a championship team, or one of the best shooters on a championship team. But just in general, for that to function properly with Franz, with Paolo, with Wendell Carter, like they need spacing.
They do in the worst way.
And
they
so really it's like, do. You might have to reach for a guy.
E says Anthony Black is overrated. I happen to agree.
How can you be overrated when no one rates you highly?
Because he was picked in the top 10.
That doesn't mean you're overrated.
He was
if
picked.
If you're overrated and no one likes you like that, it's not possible to be overrated and no one like you.
Azana, I appreciate you stopping by. Don't forget to like and subscribe, says, if I'm the Magic, I'm calling the Wizards and asking if a first and some seconds can get me pull. Ugh. Hold on.
With that, watching Paolo and Jordan Poole together.
But hold on. I just want to preface this because I came off a little disgusted because I don't like Jordan Poole. But I can see the vision of what you're going for. They need shooting. He's an elite shooter. But on a He is. He's an elite
shooter. Are we sure?
I mean,
elite shooter?
Maybe not
elite. He's not an elite shooter.
He's a good shooter. He's a good shooter.
He's a solid shooter when he isn't taking.
He shoots every shot he sees. Every single time he touches the ball, he shoots it. It's not a good fit for the Orlando Magic. Not a good team fit.
In a smaller role, I think he can be like
an off the bench guy. The microwave off the bench at $155 million or whatever he makes.
Isn't his contract similar to Tyler's? Because they signed it around the same time.
It probably is similar to Tyler's.
I want
to
say it's like,
what is it? So $115 million, $120?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like in the $120 to $140 range. I don't remember.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. 30 mils for 2 years, he says. But I'm not paying Jordan Poole 30 mil for 2 years to ruin my offensive flow by taking every shot he sees. Like, I'm not doing that.
The Magic offense is already as bad as it is. Like, I don't know if I would want to make that investment.
And not just bad, it's dysfunctional, their offense. Like, there's no flow to it. You don't know where the shots are going to come from. If Paolo or Franz isn't just taking somebody off the bounce, you don't have an offense.
Yeah.
So I like where your head's at, but I don't think that's the move for a winning organization.
I can tell you the move, and it's the guy who's literally on that team, Corey Kispert.
Kispert? That's a nice fit. That's a very nice fit. Yeah.
I would much rather invest in Corey Kispert than I would Jordan Poole, given the cost, given the fit. You need more than that. He's not going to fix your shooting. You're going to need more than that, 100%. Right. But just for like, if I'm taking a dart throw on someone, much rather have him. For
long as it's not a purpose. Jackson dart. Sorry, guys. That's an NFL reference. Really quick, Dennis says they should go for Anthony Simons. Oh, Guru's son, I missed you. Poole is not a winning player. This is a great point because there's going to be an off-season pod that we're going to do, and we're going to build the all unserious team in the NBA. And you're going to help us do it, chat. But yeah, Anthony Simons, he'd be a good guy to add to that offense as well.
Mm-hmm.
The 23rd pick, the Indiana Pacers.
They need help in the front court.
Yes.
Behind Miles Turner. Like, I don't know. He's in the last year of his deal, right? Or in the second to last year. Like, he's towards the end of his contract.
Right.
I'm looking right now. Yeah, he's gonna be an unrestricted free agent this offseason.
Right.
Isaiah Jackson, Thomas Bryant, they're just not the answer.
No. Thomas Bryant's hilarious.
They need help there.
For me, this is a spot where I can see a guy like Alex Condon, for example, going, or someone reaches and takes a Kalkbrenner, or perhaps someone reaches for a Maxim Raynaud. I mean, I could see that's the area where people could start reaching, because Sorber's going to be gone. Wolf is going to be gone. And you're not going to get any of those other bigs that late. So that's where people can reach.
Are we sure? I was going to say, like, for Condon, are we sure that wouldn't be a reach?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a reach, because he's a second rounder in my book.
That, right. That's what I mean.
That's a reach. Yeah, I think they're going to reach.
I think there's too much unpredictability in the draft.
There's no good centers in this draft. Guru Sun, that's a crazy statement.
I think there's still, like, the possibility of having, like, Wolf. Or
you think Wolf will be there in the late 20s?
I think he can't. Like, I think it's a possibility, sure. Like, yeah. I don't – right now, if I had to put, like, my money on it, probably not. But, like, there's so many weird things that can happen with teams reaching above them for players.
It's true.
Or he could fall down the board. Again, we'll get more clarity, like, once we know who's going back and everything. But yeah. I just one way or the other, like, whether they have to trade back or whatever the case is, like, I would try to get a big somewhere. Do they have a second round pick?
I will tell you right now, they do. Pick 54.
Okay. But yeah, I just, if you can, I guess, if the board falls to you the right way, if it doesn't, I mean, they re-signed probably just another wing. Like, they re-signed everyone in their backcourt. Like, they re-signed Nembhard, they re-signed McConnell. Obviously Tyrese is on that big extension. Like, I don't know what the fit would be there.
And they have Ben Shepherd waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're probably just another wing if you can get it. But this Zana, would be a case where I try to trade back if a big that I'd like doesn't fall to me at the pick that I would want.
Trading back's not a bad idea for them.
Well, yeah,
actually,
like
that's a good idea, actually. Really good.
Just
idea.
If you can stack assets depending on what it is.
No doubt. Real quick, there's some more messages in the chat here. Izanza says, Corey works as well, but Poole shot 37.8% from three on 9.18 attempts per game. I know the Wizards were awful, but Poole played significantly better this year. The most important part of that stat is 9.1 3-point attempts per game.
Spacing, baby.
Spacing. Come on, Malawach isn't a good center, says E. What question mark? There are two or three excellent centers in this draft.
Three.
They're going to be really, really good. Let's see. Guru Sun says their team is pretty solid, good depth. They just need a center. You're correct.
Yeah.
E said, don't forget to like and subscribe when you come through, people. Man, I appreciate E, man. E's out there doing the Lord's work. Atlanta Hawks at pick 22 via the Lakers trade.
This one's interesting. I would probably try to, if you can get another guard like Serif.
Ben Serif would work wonders.
You don't know what Trey Young's future looks like.
Yep.
So I think that would be like my number one priority to have at least, not in, like, I don't think the guy you're going to get at 22 is going to be the solution to all your problems if you trade Trey Young. But it's someone that can help fill that gap. And I think Seraph or someone like that can help fill that gap.
Yeah. And I don't think Seraph's going to fall that far. One question. There's one thing I forgot to mention. Someone, it was E, he said earlier. He was saying the Magic may take Hugo Gonzalez. I just want to caution people. Hugo Gonzalez could just fall off the map. He plays 5 minutes a game in Europe, and when he does play, he doesn't play well. I haven't even been able to scout him and build a profile because he never plays. He's not ready. So he may not even go in this draft. So the other thing about Atlanta that I just thought of, you know, would be a really good landing spot for Cam Jones. Off the bench,
yeah,
score on a team that has playoff aspirations. Guru-san, you said you love Hugo. Help me understand how you love Hugo if he never plays. Hugo, I've never seen, I've watched 10 games. He's played 5 minutes a game and I've never seen him look athletic. How are you making this evaluation? I don't get it. Moving on.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On Utah Jazz, Matt Hanifin, via the Minnesota Timberwolves pick. Pick 21.
This is where, like, they have, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, they have the number one odds. You probably, if you're a Jazz fan or someone who follows this pretty closely, you probably know that by now. Whether they get the number one pick or not remains to be seen. I've kind of jokingly said throughout the draft process that I think they would get the number one pick because of who's going to be number one.
Right.
but whether they get one, two, three, whatever, like, I think this team needs to prioritize, like, athleticism. Like, this team, I think, needs to get more athletic than they are right now because they're just simply not. I'm very interested to see what the future of Lauri Markkanen looks like. He signed the extension last offseason. They made him ineligible to be traded this season because of, you know, where the deadline fell, which was literally one day after the trade deadline that he was able to – he became trade eligible again, but he wasn't because it was past the trade deadline. So I'm very interested to see what his future looks like if they try to sell high or lukewarm or whatever the case is with him. Yeah. Obviously, they've been trying to trade Walker Kessler for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Ever since they got him, really, in the Gobert trade. It depending on what his future, like what they think his future is there. I thought he had a better, I think, third season than he did last year. But this team just needs to get more athletic. And I think, like, having whether, again, if you get Coop at one or if you get VJ or Dylan or whatever the case is, like, either of those three guys would fit perfectly for different reasons there. But now you just, now they, once they, if, again, there's more clarity about what they need or what they need to prioritize at 21. Or in this draft, once they figure out their draft position, because it's like you get one, if you get Coop, well, then you could trade Lauri or do whatever. Like, there's multiple ways that they can go about this, but I just think in general they need to get more athletic.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they need to get more athletic.
Yeah, I think they need to be more athletic too, but if they get that number one pick, they're instantly more athletic.
Well, yeah, it's just
and
like
switchable and all of that. But. Along those lines, do you think a Rashear Fleming could fall that far to pick 21.
I think it's possible.
So if they came out the draft with Coop and Fleming, you're instantly more athletic and more dynamic. I would like that a lot for them. A wing like Rashear Fleming and then a wing forward like Coop.
Yeah. 100%.
So the next pick was the Brooklyn Nets at 20. We're going to skip that. We've already talked about that. The Washington Wizards at pick 19 via Memphis Grizzlies.
Everything.
The Wizards, they've won the five games.
We've talked about it on here before. The core that they're building is nice, but
the core is nice.
They still need that. They still need like help anywhere they can get. Honestly,
if the Pels get VJ Edgecombe, do they move off Zion? Says he. We'll talk about that. We'll discuss that. There is a rumor about Joe Dumars coming in cleaning house, but we'll talk about it. The Wizards, because they're projected to have the number two pick in a draft, we're kind of jumping around now. It depends on, in my view, what they do at number two. Because here's the issue I have, and this is where I said the draft can get murky. Because they invested a number one pick in Bub Carrington. They've invested a trade asset to get Jordan Poole. Not Jordan Poole. AJ Johnson. They have Bilal Coulibaly. Would they pick Dylan Harper?
Yes.
But we know that there are GMs that will overthink this. Is there any universe they take Ace Bailey because he's a 6'10 guy you could put next to Alex Saar? Is there a way you could convince yourself they could take 6'10 Ace Bailey to pair with Saar?
Maybe, but I don't think I would. If I'm Washington, like, before I would take Ace Bailey, I would entertain calls about what teams want for the number two pick.
That's a great point. They could do that also.
Yeah, like, if I would take Dylan, just if I'm Washington, yes, they got Bub last year. I think you just take Dylan and figure it out.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
But and I wouldn't necessarily do this if I'm one, more so two, but like I would very much love to just be on the other side of the phone.
Do you think Charlotte would be that team on the phone at three saying, yeah, we'll jump up and take Harper?
They could. Literally any team behind them could.
New Orleans, it's just a matter of what the New Orleans could as well. This could be the package of Zion Williamson going out to the Washington Wizards.
I mean, all due respect, why would I do that to Zion?
The Pels want to rebuild.
Nah, why would they trade Zion and the number four pick or whatever for the number two pick?
To get Dylan Harper.
Or, excuse me, why would Washington do that? I think that's more so the angle that I want to attack. Why would Washington
add a veteran explosive asset to a young core?
I'm adding a guy who can't shoot next to a guy who I don't think can shoot.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't believe any of this. I'm just trying to make it compelling and interesting.
Nah, I wouldn't do that for either team. But I would take Dylan if I'm Washington and not think twice about it. I wouldn't overthink it. I'd be like, all right, we're just turning the card. We got Bub Carrington.
Right. But Bub's not enough to keep us from drafting Dylan Harper.
No. Certainly not. I love Bub. But
no. I agree. I was, again, playing devil's advocate. There's no way I'm passing up Dylan Harper because I have Bub Carrington. The number 18 pick via the Golden State Warriors, the Miami Heat have the 18th pick. What are you taking?
Probably the best available wing.
Oh, my God. If you say best player available one more time.
I mean, that's probably what I'm going to say on draft night. I hope you know that. But if depending on what they do at 11,
correct.
I mean, I'm guessing they get 11. But like, depending on what they do at 11, I think they attack guard at 11. So I would probably lean toward a wing at 18.
So potentially Rashear Fleming.
Sure.
Or if Thomas Sorber's on a board, you already know I am taking Sorber 10 times out of 10.
I Blackhawk still worry
DJ,
about...
Hold on. Blackhawk DJ says Will Riley.
Pass.
I'm pointing at you, Blackhawk DJ.
Respectfully pass.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass.
I still worry about the foot. I want more clarity on that.
Danny and Wolf?
They have clarity at the combine or whenever they, because I'm sure there's someone's going to disclose that stuff at some point. And, or it's probably going to be the report of like, oh my God, I'm the healthiest I've ever been ever. So to help your draft position, but like I still worry about the foot. So I don't know if I would, it depends on who else is available. If Sorber's right. still on the board. Sure.
All right, I'll give you your pick. Sorber, Wolf, Carter Bryant, Fleming.
Ooh.
You're the GM. You're on the clock.
Sorber, Wolf, Fleming, and Carter Bryant?
Correct.
Probably Fleming.
I'd probably lean Fleming as well. Actually, I'd probably take Sorber 1, Fleming 2. Who do you have number 2?
Carter Bryant.
Whoa, Carter Bryant, number 2 out of all of them. That's actually very interesting.
Dude, this is typically something that I don't lean into when it comes to like, all right, this is not something I typically like buy into when it comes to this stuff, but like, you see the defensive upside and you just see like the physical traits. Like usually when I spout those out or when I hear people spout like, oh my God, the physical traits.
Right.
Like I usually hesitate a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, one, I don't know if he actually comes out, but I think you see the inklings of someone who could be a very good 3-and-D player at the next level.
Right. He does. And, he has all the makeup of that.
Yeah. And so like, especially if I, you know, have a solid, I mean, you're at 11, you're going to take someone with upside, sure. But like, I can even throw a dart for even more upside at 18. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's why I'm throwing a dart on Sorber though.
Yeah, sure. Fair. But like, if you're throwing, if Carter Bryant can figure out the dribble part of his game, like if you can figure out how to dribble. Is what I'm saying.
Seems like an important part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. But like he'll be a very functional player at the next level. Even like I think he's functional. Right? Like what if he's just Haywood Highsmith as a rookie? Fine with it.
I mean, you'd be fine with that as a rookie, right? Because he'd have a higher ceiling. He'd be a better shooter instantly than Haywood Highsmith, actually. Actually, probably, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Fleming. Bryant, maybe he's like you said, maybe he is Haywood Highsmith. That would be not, that'd be perfectly fine.
At 18, fine.
Yeah, at 18.
As a rookie,
there's a couple of comments.
More growth on to be had.
There's a couple of comments on the old YouTube. Danny says, "Are there any sports teams in Alaska that compete in the NBA, NHL, or MLS? What's life like as an American in Alaska? I think you have the wrong show." But I appreciate you stopping by. Don't forget to like and subscribe. E asked about Nolan Troy. Would he still be available? I don't think Nolan Troy is going to be there at pick 18, but if he is, I think the Heat will have already addressed the guard need in the earlier part of the draft.
Yeah.
One thing about Troy, he's incredibly small, doesn't finish well at the rim, doesn't shoot well from three, but he can sure pass that rock and run your offense. But that's about it. Where did we leave off? I got all sidetracked on this 18th pick of the Miami Heat. The Minnesota Timberwolves via Detroit Pistons. What do they need? Best player available.
Let me look at this. I Dude,
my eye is messing with
me. I think you could probably, I don't know if they would actually do this, but like another like lead guard.
I definitely think they need a lead guard. This is the perfect spot for Ben Seraph. Perfect spot for Ben Seraph to go.
Yeah.
Do you think they take another tiny guard like Nolan Troy?
Yeah.
Dillingham and Troy, the backcourt of the future.
No, I don't.
I don't think there's any chance. We've already discussed Orlando at 16. The San Antonio Spurs have picks 15 and 8 as of the draft order currently. Do you think we see a scenario where they trade their second pick like they did last year?
I mean, if they can get a future swap, which is something that they've been doing around the league for however many years.
They're swap shoppers.
Yeah, so like that's what they did last year and they got Minnesota to bite. Because teams are more reluctant or not, they're less reluctant to trade swaps than they are just actual picks. Because one, you could trade swaps and it doesn't violate the stepping rule.
True.
So it allows teams to do that. And they were able to collect future swaps, which again, they have like four or five in the next however many years, like they have a ton from just different teams. I don't think they would, if you can get, this would be a spot where I would take like Sorber or someone like a backup big.
Dude, Sorber in San Antonio would be bananas.
Yeah. Well, like bananas. I get the, it is a little bit of a scary situation when you talk about, you know, the optics of drafting a center who's coming off a season-ending foot injury after your starting center, your superstar center, missed roughly half of the season due to like a life-threatening blood clot.
Right.
But maybe like they've been a team that needs a backup center. Like Zach Collins was bad. How many times have they signed Bismack Biyombo? Like, it feels like they've done it like three or four
million
times.
E says they need Colin Murray Boyles. I don't think he'll be there at 15. People are really high on Boyles. I am not, but.
Yeah. But like, if you're looking for a spot for Colin Murray Boyles.
Not a bad spot.
Hate San Antonio. I wouldn't hate it.
Is Colin Murray Boyles a better Harrison Ingram that they already have?
Harrison Ingram can shoot. Like what?
I know. But that's just what I thought of. He just reminds me of Harrison Ingram. A little slightly bigger than Harrison Ingram. What would you do with the 8 pick? Would you take Con Knipple? Because I think he makes all the sense in the world.
That would be so gross.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
He's got game in the paint. Every time I watch Colin Murray Boyles against good teams, he didn't do anything in the paint. I don't think he has a fit in the NBA. I'm going to be honest with you. I could be completely wrong, but that's just what I think. I don't think his game is going to translate very well. Unless he can figure out how to get a jump shot somewhere. Number 14, the Atlanta Hawks. We've already talked about them. Number 13, the Chicago Bulls. What do they need?
Someone who's not a point guard because they already have a ton of those. No.
Kobe White. Yep. I think, Matas has the, wing spot locked up, that forward wing spot.
I'm just looking at their contracts right now. Trey Jones is coming off the books. I imagine they pay Giddey, who's a restricted free agent. Javon Carter has a player option, that I'm guessing he'll opt into, but who knows?
Yeah.
They signed Lonzo Ball to an extension. So like, if you can just get another wing or another big behind Vooch, especially if you decide to trade Vooch.
Voochie baby.
I think that's the route I would go.
So in that 13 area, that could be where Colin Murray Boyles goes. Liam McNeely says Blackhawk DJ. E says Kasper Shiakachonis. I don't see him falling that far.
What if you get a guy like Asa Newell here? If he falls.
Ooh, if Asa Newell fell that far in a heartbeat. in a heartbeat. What about Jaeger Denman?
They have so many guards.
But he's 6'9". He can be
versatile
for you.
They already have Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey? Yeah, man. I mean, I like Newell. I like Boyles for them. I like Queen. Jace, if he falls. I know they got guards, but Jace is too talented to pass up. I like the McNeely thing. The McNeely thing is intriguing to me for them. Because they need a glue guy connector that can shoot. I like it.
That wouldn't be a bad spot for him.
Izanya says, as long as it's not a PG, the Bulls could use him or a guard in general. Okay. The number 12, the Dallas Mavericks. Sans Luka Doncic. What do they need?
They're a team that needs a lead guard. So, like, if Jakob Jonas was available.
He makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
He makes too much sense. In fact, he may be too like Luka that the Nico gets PTSD and doesn't.
Oh, man. Oh, man. He's like, wait, I've seen you before.
I've seen this show before. Wait a minute. I mean, Jakob Jonas could play with Kyrie.
Kyrie's not going to be playing.
Oh, that's true.
That's why they need it.
That's true. Jakob Jonas, Jace Richardson.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Jace Richardson. At number 11, the Miami Heat pick.
Same thing as Dallas. Next.
Lead guard. They need both of those players. Any of those players.
Correct.
Trey Johnson will be gone. Trey Johnson's going to go in the top five.
Yeah.
Portland.
Trey Johnson, but he's not falling that far.
Portland in the 10th pick.
Ooh.
Who does Joe Cronin snatch up?
You could go guard here, especially if you trade Simons, which they've been wanting to do. Same thing with Jeremy Grant. I know that contract's a little bit worse. At least you were able to get Avdija. But I'd probably, if you can get a guard here or someone in the backcourt, like a combo-ish guard.
Like a Kasper Siakachonis.
Sure, yeah.
Is there anybody that they may have to reach for? Like Jaeger?
I mean, if they do, thank you.
That's a very Portland-ish pick.
I don't think they would have to reach for someone. But you could also
get another wing. Because, who's going to be there, though? Pick 10's a weird spot.
Yeah.
Like, is Fears still going to be around at pick 10?
Could be.
Maybe. So Fears, Jace, Jaeger, Traore. If they have to reach.
Yeah.
Pick number 9, the Houston Rockets via Phoenix Suns.
Someone who can help space the floor.
So not Derek Queen?
No.
Another Con Knipple landing spot.
You could all, yeah. I mean, if you want to go Derek Queen and just have two Shangoons.
Exactly. I was literally going to say that. Like, you're just getting a Shangoon clone.
That'd be fine. I don't think. Shangoon's improved his defense somewhat over, you know, his first few seasons in the NBA. Maybe Derek Queen can. Maybe he could learn a thing or two.
Shangoon checking out of the game for Shangoon.
No, I think that, you could go back up big two if you want, but I don't know if I would do that with the top 9 pick.
What position does current Colin Murray Boyles play is what I would challenge you to want to ask you, E, because he's not really a big. I mean, he's like 6'7", 6'6". He's not Draymond Green defensively either. I'm sick of hearing that comparison. So that's my problem. Right. Like, he's going to guard like maybe threes and fours, maybe. And none of that's going to end well for him. The San Antonio Spurs, we covered them. Number seven, Toronto Raptors. Who you got?
This team is a weird team. They did a good job with their most recent draft, though, so I will give them. We kind of said that at the time, too, I believe.
We definitely did.
This could be like a Malawatch spot.
This is a great spot for Malawatch. Amazing spot for Malawatch. I like Malawatch. It makes too much sense. Him and Mogbo together?
I think we actually talked about Malawatch in Toronto on a recent app. Please go check that out if you haven't already.
Yes. Go back and watch all our draft episodes.
Yeah. But I think the one problem that I would have is like the facilitation, like outside of Scotty, outside of RJ, outside of Quit, like they don't have like, that'd be the one concern I'd have with drafting Malawatch.
So fears maybe?
Well, no, I mean, I think you have the answers. I mean, not the answers, but like Quickly and Shed, if you believe in those two guys. I don't know if you'd go fierce. I mean, you can.
I don't think either one of those guys is a starter.
I'm just saying, like, well, Quickly is.
I don't think he's a lead guard. I don't. I don't think he leads you to a playoff team. I really don't. I mean, I like Quickly, but I don't think he could lead a playoff team. I don't believe in him like that.
Okay. But I still think you would try to get a big, just with Poeltl.
Poeltl
hitting free agency soon.
No, I like it. I like it. I think, like I said, I think Malawatch makes all the sense in the world at seven. We've already talked about Brooklyn. What about number five for Philadelphia?
Joel Embiid insurance. The Geico is
so Malawatch doesn't make it to Toronto.
That's car insurance. That's not Joel Embiid insurance.
That's not Joel Embiid insurance. All right, take it easy, man.
I mean, they need a lot because their situation is so perplexing. Just get the best guy available. Like the guy
that's like Trey Johnson or VJ Edgecombe.
I was gonna say if Johnson, Edgecombe, Bate, like what you get, you're probably getting one of those three guys.
Wow.
So just pick whoever's there.
Wow. I like it. I mean, for them, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap this up quickly. Rapid fire. New Orleans at number four. Who's your fourth overall pick? Is it VJ? Or is it Trey Johnson?
For New Orleans?
Yep.
Oh. Okay. I probably lean VJ.
Charlotte pick three. Is it Ace Bailey?
Probably.
So Brandon Miller, 6'10". Ace Bailey, 6'10". That's a lot of functional size. We already talked about Washington. We already talked about Utah. So that is us covering the entire 2025 NBA draft order. We're going to cover the draft lottery odds since there are only 14 teams. And we're going to do it really quickly. So if you want to look at the odds as well, you can go to tankathon.com. I am going to pull them up on the screen for us real quick so we can all look together. But there's a lot of ads, which are annoying to me. But it's okay. You can't always get what you want. Here it is. The draft lottery odds. By Tankathon. Let me make this smaller, get the ads out of the way. So, the current odds with ties included. The Jazz, obviously, Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets have the best odds to get the number one overall pick for Cooper Flagg. They all have equal odds to get pick 2, 3, 4. It starts to change once you get to pick 5. Is there anything interesting that stands out to you, Matt, outside of that?
One, the San Antonio Spurs have a quick math in my head, like what, a 25% chance or whatever at a top four pick?
Yeah, that is very interesting.
They have a 6% chance at one. Are they going to do it again?
They could. Why are the Phoenix Suns numbers in red? All of their numbers are in red.
Because I think it's a protected. Let me see if it.
Positions resulting in a trade are highlighted in red. Okay. That's what it is. It's from a trade.
Yeah.
The Portland Trailblazers have the best odd for picks 10. Izanza says the Rockets having a 17% at top four makes me sick. Sick, I tell you. The Suns pick goes to the Rockets. That's right. You're right about that. You're right about that.
I was just pulling that up.
The Miami Heat have a 2% chance in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes.
Cross my fingers.
That's right. I'll take anybody in the top four, to be honest, as a Heat fan.
Oh, I know. I'm just getting greedy when I say that.
You greedy son of a gun. but that's about it, guys. I'm not going to go too in-depth into the lottery odds. I just wanted to show you guys that. Anything you have you want to talk about, Matt, before we close out today's show?
I also find it very interesting because, like, Philly being where they're at after the year that they had with the injuries, with the Paul George thing, Joel Embiid thing, like, I wonder where they, like, ultimately fall. Like, if they get Cooper Flagg, like, they have a 10.5% chance. We didn't even mention them among the top five.
That's true. It's a great point.
That would be... That'd be... Like, if you're... considering there are so many questions about... There's so many questions about Embiid and Paul George's health. If they luck into getting Cooper Flagg...
Unreal. Yeah, that'd be unreal.
That'd be simply unreal.
How did they get a top six protected pick? That's a weird situation there. Because if it goes to pick seven or less, it gets traded.
Yeah, it's the Oklahoma City. It was the Al Horford, Danny Green trade.
That is such a weird protection, a top six protected pick. It's weird.
Yeah.
Worked out for them, though, because Embiid could never stay healthy.
Yeah. Honestly.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for us today. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to watch us on playback.tv/5RSN and Hoops Profile. So both of those. Don't forget to follow Matt and I on all social media. I'm Digital Adele. You can find Matt Hannafin at...
At MPH _824_.
That's right. The Pythagorean Theorem, guys. I appreciate you all. We'll see you next time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.